Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Gregory Wolfe. We're visiting with Gregory Wolfe. He is the publisher and editor of Image Journal and the author of Intruding Upon the Timeless, Meditations on Art, Faith, and Mystery. And I've got to say, one of the encouraging aspects of originating this show from Seattle has been the number of artistically inclined folks that are listening to this show who have felt like they're kind of in a vast wasteland when they learn that Image Journal exists. And I had a few of you who I directed towards the Image Conference in the fall and found it like a full meal for an emaciated Christian soul in the art. So it's encouraging to connect these dots for you. You were just talking about the fact that the secularist Marx and Freud kind of discouraged people from believing that the arts and certainly faith belonged together, and then within the Christian community you had that same kind of rejection of the arts. You believed that there was a place where they might actually converge. And you describe it actually in the introduction of this book as the kind of the hunger of the secularist and the believer for mystery. Talk about that and how, in fact, Image Journal began to prove that that was, in fact, the case.
Sure. Well, mystery is a very ancient term in the Judeo-Christian tradition. It's been eclipsed in recent decades as Christians have reacted to the modern world. They've tended often to go into a very rationalist mode where everything becomes doctrinal, becomes apologetics, becomes somehow rational formulation as a way of staving off what is reasonably perceived as threats to the integrity and the coherence of the faith tradition. But there is a cost for that kind of movement towards a rationalistic propositional approach. And of course, religion tends to get brittle, legalistic, dry, out of touch with human experience and a kind of holistic understanding of life rather than this more propositional, statement-oriented view of life. So to be interested in mystery is not to be interested in what I would call mystification or mere confusion. Mystery has always been seen as kind of the shining light of truth, which we as fallen human beings can penetrate into only to a certain depth. And to assume that we have the power to penetrate all the way to the heart would be pride on our part. But to rest with a kind of awe and openness and awareness of our limitations in the outer, ionosphere of that truth is where grace and where meaning, where things kind of connect for most human beings. And the arts are very well suited to bring you into that zone and to let you be illuminated in that zone. And that's one reason why I've been so drawn to it.
Now, your book talks about some of the standards early on that you were going to set for Image Journal. Aesthetic excellence, public square, and a place where those who are settled in their religious faith and struggling with religious faith would find a home. Just talk about the importance of each of those briefly. Aesthetic, public square, settled and strugglers alike.
Sure. Well, you're no stranger to this whole question of the way Christians relate to culture. And we looked very carefully at past efforts in this area, and we were very disheartened by the temptation of many Christians to create what I would call a subculture and to kind of create a Christian ghetto where there is some kind of separate track of publishing companies and record labels and so on, all that have some kind of good housekeeping stamp of approval on them. They're safe. They won't challenge you. They won't scare you. They won't shake your faith or, frankly, shake you up in any way, shape, or form. And the danger of that kind of realm of safety is that it becomes a realm where people are not challenged to live up to their highest, not pushed towards the bleeding edge of life and experience. And artistic excellence tends to go by the board. Preaching to the choir becomes the name of the game. So we wanted to both be in the public square as a way of saying that we had the confidence that people of faith in the arts could, by achieving excellence, gain a hearing. That whole notion that boo-hoo, woe is me, I'm a Christian, I'm going to be marginalized. We just didn't feel that was the right spirit of the faith. And so those two things were absolutely kind of intertwined from the beginning. Now, as far as the whole issue of those more settled in their faith and those who I call grapplers, I use the word grappler because I think the word seeker has been so trivialized that it's almost a meaningless term. But grappler to me is somebody who at least is in some kind of serious agonized engagement with faith.
Yeah.
And therefore, they're not just using faith in their works of literature or art as background wallpaper or muzak. They're using it as the central means by which they come to grips with the meaning of life.
Yeah.
So we wanted a balance where there was this community where people could come together in a forum, those you know who'd found peace and some identity within the faith, within the church, but those who were still not quite there. And that interaction has been fruitful for both.
Oh, yeah.
For both.
Well, when you read the people who have written for the Image Journal, when you look at some of the people who have spoken at Image events, and I've interviewed a lot of these people who are definitely in the grappler camp, but what a wonderful thing that they find a place where they can come and engage with other people who shares their aesthetic concern and the core issues of life concerns. And I mean, there's very few places where that happens. And obviously, my congratulations go to you for providing that. You have this phrase editorially that you're asking questions of art, does it rise? What does that mean?
Well, I'm cribbing from, as I do in so many ways, even to the title of the book, from Flannery O'Connor, whose shoelaces I'm not fit to untie, as a brilliant, profound Christian writer and thinker. And what she loved this whole notion that everything that rises must converge.
Yeah.
Everything that has a spark of openness to this divine mystery is going to find a way to converge on a central truth. And it won't do so by these discrete rational propositions that segment things into discrete territories. It's the nature of art is to be all over the map. But what art does that I think the rational, philosophical, theological modes also do is to converge on a central source, on mm-hmm. a unified
yeah.
form of truth. It just does it in a means that sometimes scares people because you start from left field or you go by way of left field and you're never always sure where you stand. But then at the same time, why would we want to live with absolute certainty about every
yeah.
moment of our lives? Faith is about risk. Faith is about openness. It's about breaking out of ruts. And so art has a way of complementing, not replacing or supplanting, complementing these other modes of discourse that have so dominated the public nature of religion in America.
The title, Intruding Upon the Timeless, the origin of that, and it is the first essay.
Yeah. Well, that comes from a Flannery O'Connor quote that talks about the relationship between faith and art and the big questions that art really is ultimately asking anyway, the big questions that are inherent really religious. Who are we? Where we come from? Where are we going? And so Intruding Upon the Timeless is a metaphor for what the artist does, and does so with humility, hopefully, and a sense of their own limitations, and yet with also a kind of boldness at the same time.
Yeah. Join us for our next podcast with Gregory Wolfe. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.